Hey guys, it's Autumn Ray with Beyond the Record, and today I have rising R&B singer Nastasia here with me today. How are you doing today, Nastasia?
I'm so good. I'm so grateful and happy to be here with you. I told you, as soon as I saw you, I'm like, look at you. You look so cute and pretty.
So do you. Exactly. Like I said, I love your hair. It's so, so pretty. Like,
thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. So let's get started. I want to learn more about you and learn more about your background. Like, where are you from and how did you get started in music?
Yeah. So, well, I'm Haitian American. My mom's side is from Haiti. And my dad is American. I was born in Miami, but I was raised in Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville is a very small town. Anytime I hear anybody who knows about Asheville, I get super excited. Small town, but yeah, I was raised in Asheville. And my dad is a musician. So I've been doing music since I was able to talk and know my surroundings. Even when I was a baby, my dad had me in music studios with him as a single father. So yeah, and I'm an only child, so I'm a daddy's girl. Yeah, so it was just me and him for a long time. And yeah, like that's how I got started. I never really knew anything different. I just knew I love music and that was like all I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so my dad like had me, you know, on songs in the studio, things like that. Then of course, when you live in a small town, you know, you start performing for events, mm-hmm. you know, so I was performing for events and then a part of the church choir and then all of that. But I knew that I wanted to go somewhere where I could really focus on music. So I moved to Atlanta when it was time for me to go to college. And that's where I got signed a publishing deal with Sony. And so I started as a songwriter. I'm like, whatever I need to do to be an artist and write for myself. So mm-hmm. at that time, that was kind of like the path that was set for me. And so, yeah, like all throughout my life, like the trajectory was music for sure.
Yeah, no, I love that.
That's a short version.
Oh, but like, yeah, I know how this industry can be. It's just like a bunch of like twists and turns and like that. But it seems like you knew from the beginning what you wanted to do. So that's amazing.
That's the thing that keeps you going is if you know, because it's not easy. So you have to like really want it to continue to go throughout all of the ups and downs.
No, exactly. You can definitely tell too when people are in it for clout or for money and stuff like that. And then actual artists who are just like stick it out from the beginning, just like, this is going to be a long road. It's not going to be easy, but it's something that I want, you know?
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm curious, what type of musician was your father? What type of genre did he lean towards?
Oh, yes. Like, so he played for Betty White, Eugene Wilde. He plays the bass, the saxophone, the drums, the piano, everything. So he used to tour with a lot of artists. So a live musician, I would say like funk, soul, R&B, you know, that type of vibe.
Wow, that's so dope. Do you play any instruments?
I play the clarinet. Yes, I play the clarinet. I was in marching band and I was the drum major for my marching band. So yeah, I play the clarinet and a little bit of the piano by ear. Like I can learn the notes, but the clarinet is what I was trained playing.
That is so cool.
I'm still trying to figure out a way to add a clarinet in a song and then maybe I could do a little Lizzo moment.
I was just about to ask you, that'd be so cool if you can play the clarinet and also like being your song. Wow.
I gotta figure that out.
And No, I hope that you can do that. I know you can do it. You're going to do it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
No, that is so, so dope. I only played the piano a little bit, but I think it's such a fun instrument. Yeah. It's so cool. I love it.
It is. Oh, nice. So you do music as well.
A little bit. I really can't do it like that, but you know, like it's like someone has a piano like at their house or something. Like I'll play a little bit just to see if I still got it, but
okay, so that still takes some like talent and skill though to even do a little something. So yes, kudos to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Who are some artists that you look up to now, or some artists that, you know, need more of a spotlight, you feel? Some more lower key artists.
Let's see. Oh my God. There's so many names. I feel like if I miss somebody, it's going to be like, no, I didn't mean not to name you. I think artists who are out now who are low key, I honestly listen to a lot of like old school artists. So I'm really like, usually I have to be put up on newer artists. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I have like friends who are artists, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like an artist, Aaliyah James, like Keeley Ferguson, but these are artists who are my friends and they're super dope. Mm-hmm. And Michael Crawford, but those are artists who people don't really know yet, but mm-hmm. I know them because they're my friends. I see their work ethic and I see their talent. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to like artists who I feel like need to be known, I have a lot of talented homies. You know what I'm saying? So they're the first people that come to mind. You know what I'm saying? When I think about that.
No, seriously, you got to put your friends on too.
For sure. For sure.
Who are some artists that you grew up listening to?
Oh, I loved Erykah Badu. Yes, Erykah Badu. And this is like a huge contrast, but I love Tina Turner, especially when she was in her era where she was doing kind of like the rock and soul, mm-hmm. And having the big orchestras behind her, like the River Deep Mountain High. I always feel like, dang, if I was out in that era, like I feel like her songs would be the type of songs like I would sing. Like off the top, Erykah Badu, Tina Turner. And then all of like the Motown artists back in those days. Oh, Brandy, of course. They Brandy all day. Yes, yeah, so those are a few. There's a lot more. But yeah, when it comes to like older music, even now when I'm in my car, that's what I put on because it just makes me feel so good.
Yes, I'm the same way. I'm always like listening to the newer artists. But when I'm alone in my car, a lot of times I love putting on the oldies, like the songs that I grew up listening to. It just gives you this like a warm feeling inside, I feel like. It's like coming home. So
yes. And you know who I've also like just now for the jazz genre, not just now. I know Miles Davis has always been amazing, mm-hmm. but I love listening to jazz. But Miles Davis is so amazing and he brings about so much feeling in his jazz work. So that's like somebody like when I'm around the house, mm-hmm. I put on Miles Davis and like I have an old soul. So
there's nothing wrong with that though. There's nothing wrong with that at all, because you know what, the newer generation, they're gonna need to know the legends too. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So getting into more of your music, what are three songs from your own discography that you believe fans should listen to get to know you better as an artist?
Oh, I would say Trap or Die, one, because that gives you an idea of how I like my old type of hood romance that I used to be in. I think every girl like goes through that phase of just liking bad boys, knowing good and well I didn't grow up in a hood, but I just wanted me a hood dude. So I think that song really gives you a great idea of like, you know, the love and relationships that I used to have. I would say then from before, I would say Belong to You. That also that kind of shows my romantic side, and I'm a lover and I love love and I love to see people in love. And oh my God, wait, I would say belong to you and new religion, because those are kind of like me celebrating love and how amazing love feels. So that's truly, yeah, that's like truly how I am. And then lastly, I'll put those as two.
Okay.
And then lastly, I would say chains, because that kind of like shows like my sexy side, but then also it has a little country and soul in it, which kind of pays homage to me being from North Carolina and listening to a lot of country tunes and the radio stations there and things like that. Yeah. So those are the ones from the past that I would love for people to hear.
Yes. And I love that you named Trap or Die too, because that goes into my next question for you. Because I asked, was the first time I think I heard you when, because that Trap or Die was on Insecure. Yeah. So how did you feel the first time that you heard that song play on TV? Because I love Insecure. I love it. Love it.
Okay, me too. So I was loving Insecure from the beginning. Like, I'm a huge Insecure fan. And so that was so amazing. And like, they played darn near the whole song, which was super, super huge. Like, I was just so ecstatic and so grateful. Like, words can't explain. And it being my favorite TV show, like, literally was my favorite. So that was an amazing experience for sure.
Yes. And I think it was the scene. I don't know. I know it was with like Issa and Nathan, I think.
Yes. They were at Issa's house, and I think this might have been the first time they kissed.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, and the little boy, because wasn't Issa like, she was like the, what do you call the person who's like over the apartments, like this
super kind of like building manager
or something like that, and then the little boy came to the door and was talking about, yep. It was that scene.
And that was that's a pivotal scene too. Like,
yes.
You know, it introduces him kind of as a real romantic interest.
Yep, so.
Exactly. Oh, landlord. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yep.
No, I love that. I love I was team Nathan, but it's okay. It's all right. I'm going to let
they
it
were
rock.
Cute. They were real cute. But a little bit of me, because I can't remember what her ex did. Do we like him or we don't like him? I can't really remember. Was he trifling or was he good?
Lauren?
Yes.
Well, he had the baby eventually. And then, like in the beginning, he's introduced and they were like already dating for 5 years. And then he was lazy or something.
Because a part of me was like at one point thinking that maybe they would get back together, but I feel like he started doing stuff that was like,
exactly. Like, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm always like, I mean, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I feel like she was like just pissed. I mean, who wouldn't be like,
yeah,
I'm just laying here and I'm working.
Right. Mm-mm. It's not gonna respect you if that's how it's happening. It's not gonna work.
Exactly.
Yes.
So now that you're one of your songs has been on a TV show, what is the next track you feel like, or maybe even past songs that you've released, would you see on a show now?
Oh, even unreleased?
Okay, we can do unreleased.
Maybe not. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, so, well, the songs that I would think of has been, like, I have a song called My Side, and that was on HBO and CW. Let's see. Even my releases, my first single release for this project, You First, I think is a dope song, especially for shows like Insecure, any shows that are talking about like relationships, because a lot of times I think even in dating and you see it playing out on TV shows, it's like, you know, the like for the guy, like, no, you need to lead the way. You need to lead us to where we're going. I don't want to have to be wondering if you're thinking about me. You hit me up first. You let me know where we are. I don't need to ask. So I think that could be like a good scene. And then even Illis, that's coming out this Friday. Like, I feel like a lot of scenes and shows and movies can, you know, relate to that song, especially when somebody isn't feeling their best. So I think, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I like that you said you first too, because I love that song as well. And I totally agree with it, like the whole premise of that song. So can we talk more about the inspiration behind that track?
Yes. So I am, and I haven't always been this way. It was through like going through relationships and growing and learning myself. And even though like I've always thought highly of myself, I feel like, you know, sometimes we don't relate that to like relationships. You can think highly of yourself and know your self-worth, but then when you get into a relationship, all of a sudden you forget. but I think like going through relationships and knowing that self-worth also has to do with allowing like the guy to lead. So you don't ever have to question and not just throwing yourself out there and giving more before it's deserved. Because I know the relationships where maybe I have done that, I'm always getting the short end of the stick, or I've always gotten the short end of the stick in some type of way. But then when my mind shifted and I got older and I started letting the guy lead, and you know, you reach out to me, you like, you show us what type of relationship you want this to be. Even if it doesn't work out, I'm never left feeling depleted or feeling like I've given so much energy because I've only given the energy that was given to me. So I'm not leaving with the short end of the stick, even if it doesn't work out. And I think you first is like basically telling girls, like, let him go first. Don't, you know, give all of your energy. You don't want to feel drained and tired and through. And if you do that, then regardless of what happens, you'll never leave with a short end of the stick. You'll live to fight another day.
That is so true. Everything you said, wow. Because it's, when I was listening to that song too, because you know, as my friends and I navigate like new relationships and stuff like that, I have some friends that are already married and other friends that are single or in the talking stages of people. Yeah. And I'm like, girl, just make him come get you. Like, make him come get you, because we doing all this work for what, you know? And like you said, you don't want to feel depleted after you're giving your all, you're answering all these calls, these texts and stuff, and then you get left with nothing. So he's interested, he's gonna come. So that's how I always felt. And I think that this song definitely, like, you know, confirmed that.
Yeah, for sure. And then also, like, a lot of times guys aren't gonna say no. That doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that they really want you, you know, if you're going first. Because they oblige doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
That is so true. I just saw something on like Instagram the other day too. Like, this guy, he was chasing after her and stuff like that. And then they went on a date or something. And then they ended up, like, once he found out he couldn't sleep over her house, he was done. He was like, okay, we don't want to go out anymore. Like, what's wrong with you?
Let me tell you, that happened to me. That was one of my first dates in California. Mm-hmm. It was like a first date, and the guy was like taking me back to my car. Mm-hmm. And he said, I live far away. Can I just sleep on your couch? First date. And I was like, no. And then he got so, I wasn't going to talk to him again anyway, because he found it weird that he had to pay for the meal, for the $25 meal. Yeah, girl, that's a whole nother story. He said, you expecting me to pay for the meal is like me expecting you for, you know. So anyway, so yeah, like, he got so pissed because I was like, no, you can't sleep at my house. I don't even know you. So this is a thing.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a thing. This is so crazy. And I think if we even go back to guys who, even if we're not with them or whatever, who've done, like, you know, what they were supposed to do. Like, you know how you should be treated. And you know, you've seen what guys have done for you in the past. And just like, yeah, that relationship didn't work out. But at least I know that, like, there are men out there who are going to treat me how I deserve to be treated. And like you said, you ain't sleeping over my house. What are you, what's wrong with you? Audacity.
And you know they'll never leave. Now they live with you.
I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. And it's just like, how can you ask someone that? That's really crazy.
The audacity.
Yes. So your new song, Illis, just dropped on Friday. And it's talking about how, you know, we as women, sometimes we feel like, you know, we're not in our best era right now. And like, we're feeling kind of down and kind of low. So did you have a certain circumstance to have you make up this song, or where was the inspiration found for this track?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it could happen, you know, every other day or once a week or a couple times a month, you know, even if it's not, you know, super, super drastic, even if it's like the drastic feelings that you are just really feeling super down, or the one day where you feel like, oh my God, I don't like my hair, my makeup isn't looking right, you know, from that to the major circumstances, I think like you just sometimes you never know when it's going to come. And I think it's like a regular occurrence in life, for me at least. And I don't think I'm alone. So I feel like, and when I wrote that song, I actually just went into the booth and freestyle. A lot of the times when I do have sessions, I just go in there and kind of say what's on my heart. And then when I get out of the booth, piece in the missing lyrics and stuff. And so that was really just something from my heart, me thinking about, you know, how even though I go through those moments where I may not be feeling the best, that doesn't take me away from being, you know, the illest. So just leave me alone. And then me personally, when I'm going through things, I sometimes shut down until I figure out what's happening. And then I start calling everybody back or telling my friend, girl, let me tell you what happened. You know, this is why you haven't heard from me in a week. You know, that's when I start like talking about it. And so, you know, the hook being like, okay, just call me tomorrow and then I'll be back, because I also need that time to myself too, sometimes where I don't even want to talk to anybody. I just have to like go on the inside and figure out how do I come out of this. And, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, like you said, you're not alone in that feeling at all. I feel like that a lot of times too. And like you said, it doesn't have to be some specific situation to make you feel like that. It could just be a random Wednesday. And I'm like, wow, like I just hate everything kind of right now. It's just like, I just don't feel like me. And I feel like I can tell even from talking to you, like you're a very joyous and happy, energetic person. And sometimes I think when you have that type of personality and people see that you're not acting like that, they're just like, oh, what's good? Like, what's going on with you? And, you know, you have, you know, those days too, and it sucks. And that, yeah, it's just trash.
And then also like a part of that, you know, which is a thought that came to me after I made the song, is like, I think this song is also awesome for people to hear too, because now, you know, thinking about what you see on social media, and you always see people on all the time. And then so when you feel down, you feel like you're the weird one because you're not seeing anybody else feel down or feeling like, you know, how you feel. And it's just to also let people know, like, no, everybody goes through it. You know, I'm not getting on social media when I'm feeling that way.
Yeah,
people can. And that's awesome, because we need to see people be vulnerable like that. I'm just not there yet. So like, but I go through it too. So I think it's also like, just because you see this person there, you know, happy right now, and they got everything put together, they also have their days too. They're just not going on social media and showing those days. But it doesn't mean that it's not a human thing to go through, because it is. Every single person in the world has those days.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And I think what you said about social media as well, we kind of just see all of like the great moments that people are going through, which is awesome too, because that can make you inspired to do less. Like, hey, I need to kick it up, you know, and I need to, I'm on, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but Scotty Beam, she's like a media personality and stuff. Yeah,
she sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great. And I'm on, I don't know. It's like a broadcast channel or whatever. She's talking about like going to the gym and stuff like that. And I like that, cause I'm just like, wow, okay, this makes me want to, okay, let me get up. Let me go to the gym. Like, let's do this, you know? But there's also days I'm like, wow, I don't really want to do this. And like, I just kind of want to stay at home. But that's
true. And I love that part of the algorithm, the part of the algorithm where like you're being motivated and you're being empowered like that. You can never go wrong with that. Like, that's what I like seeing, especially in those moments where you don't feel good. That's awesome to like fix your algorithm to where you just hear a whole bunch of inspirational stuff, people working out, people motivating you. Yeah. So that can also help you get out of that too.
Right. And that's what I think too. Like, what you said about how people are more like vulnerable online. I'm not that way either. I always feel like there may come a point where I get to that place and I'm just like, okay with like a little bit oversharing, but I'm definitely not at that place either. So I wouldn't feel bad about that. But for the people who do that, I love seeing it because it definitely makes you feel seen. It makes you feel that you're not the only one out there. And especially with you, with your songwriting as well, it's just like you are making these pieces that people can go back to when they're not feeling their best and, you know, feel validated.
Yeah, like, I'm so grateful for that vulnerability when we do see it on social media, because a lot of times when, you know, people are being vulnerable in that way, seeing their progress too is amazing. Like, I follow this one girl who, you know, she's very vulnerable, but she's also taking you through her journey of becoming like that girl. And that's motivating as well.
Yeah. That's so true. It's like when you see people, you, like you said, follow their journey and they get to that next step and that better place. Like, wow, I was with you from the beginning. Yeah. You were fine on your couch and stuff. Yeah. And now you're doing a TED talk. Like, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I love that.
I love it. I really like the rollout that you had for this song as well. You gave a shout out to some ill women. So the illest, of course. So I want to know, who in your life would you consider one of the illest women that you know, or any of the celebs that you could follow or influence?
Yeah, well, first off, I want to pay homage to my grandmother, who was like my mother. She passed away, but that was the first illest woman that I have ever known, like literally like an amazing woman. She was the principal over three alternative schools, you know, a Black woman in Asheville, you know, really like a president of Delta chapter, like doing everything. So that was my first like example of a woman who was just inspiring and amazing. So that was my very, very first example of that. But then I have like, you know, a lot of my girlfriends and the women that I keep around me are so motivating and so inspiring. And that's why I also wanted to do that, because especially for Women's History Month, I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, because, you know, they go through things as well, but look at them, like they're thriving and they're, you know, so I thought it would be good for people to meet my friends and the women that are close to me in that type of way. And then like, listen, I'm gonna go back to Erykah Badu. When I think of the word the illest, because I think Erykah Badu was the first person that I heard even use the word illest. Or something being ill. She always says that. So when I think of that, when it comes to a woman who is already out in a celebrity, I would say like Erykah Badu, like, because that's honestly where I learned of the word from, in terms of like it being like super fly, you know, like, oh, this is the illest, or I'm ill. It was from her. Yeah.
So Erykah Badu, I love that. And I love that you featured women too. Like, obviously your grandma, I saw that. And then other women in your life too, because I think that sometimes we forget how great our friends are, you know, like these are some dope women that I get the opportunity to talk to, learn from every single day. And I love that.
Yes. I got a friend for everything. I need a house. I can call up my girl. I'm having a baby. She's a doula. I could call her everything, everything I need.
Yes, exactly. We're also like into the same thing with my friends. I don't have too many friends like in the media entertainment space, but they are like that girl in all their spaces too. And I love that I can just go to them if I have questions. I got a friend who just got her MBA. So I'm like, girl, I'll get business. I got you. I'm coming to you. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And that's like the amazing thing about having like a group of girlfriends, like so you all can just lean on each other and empower each other and be there for each other through the rough times and the good times. And so like I really cherish having good girlfriends. That's so important.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
What I want to know too about you is what are some ways, like back on the Ellis, like what are some ways that make you feel like you again? Like what do you do? What helps you get through that phase?
Oh, okay. So first is listening to like audibles and like YouTube podcasts about manifesting and fixing the way that you think and making sure that you don't let negative thoughts get in your mind and reminding myself that I create my reality and reminding myself that God is everything and that, you know, things are going to be okay. And you just need to keep going. And you know what I'm saying? Like, think about what you want and continue to work for it. It's inevitable. Nobody who has ever given up has never nobody who has given up has ever made it, right? So if you never give up, you'll inevitably make it, right? So I think my homeboy had told me that, and I'm wondering, like, did I get that quote right? I'm trying to say it exactly how he said it, but it's something that I always think about, like anybody who has got to wherever they wanted to get to or got to the feeling that they wanted, like it kept pushing through, even through the bad times. So also that helps me. But then after that, doing my hair real good, doing my makeup, that and like putting, you know, putting something on, giving attention to myself, making sure I'm looking right, that also makes me feel a lot better. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm like, ooh, but I know if I just did my hair and my makeup, I would really feel a lot better.
I'm the same way. I don't think I'm the same person when my hair is not done. I don't feel like...
You can't talk shit. You can't, like, you know what I'm saying?
I feel the same way. I feel like when my hair is not done, I'm just like, oh, okay, like, who is this person that's looking at me in the mirror right now?
Oh my God, that is so funny. Even like, oh my God, this is so funny I'm about to say. Even like, I feel like when you're about to have a serious conversation with somebody or you need to really make sure you're, me doing my hair and makeup makes me know I'm going to go into that conversation confident and not like...
busted
to be a friend or a boyfriend or anything. If it's a serious conversation, like I gotta make sure everything is done.
I agree with you 100% because that you like lose confidence when you don't feel good. Because I'm feeling like, okay, they notice that my hair looks crazy. They notice that like all my pores are showing. They know this, and then I'm trying to comfort them. Like they know.
Like who are you talking to? Like.
Exactly. I'm really big on like self-care too. So I told myself this year that I wanted to try to like maybe do like a spa or facial something like each quarter at least to keep myself like going. I can look forward to massage, something out of the ordinary as like a reset kind of.
Yeah. So. Spa days are my favorite. I love going to the spa, especially the spa that serves like champagne and stuff. Yeah. You can walk around in your robes. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the best. I've had a couple birthdays like that where I just went to the spa for the full day, swam a little bit. It was amazing.
Yeah,
was
like, that's the perfect birthday for me. Like I could do that every birthday.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Funny enough, my birthday's next week. So I might do that. I want to do that.
Are you an Aries?
Yeah.
Okay. My dad is an Aries. His birthday is next week too.
Really? Yeah. What day?
On the 26th.
Oh, I'm the 27th.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's right.
My dad is my favorite person. So yes.
Yes. Yeah. What is your birthday? I just want to know.
October 27th.
Oh, okay. Libra?
So Libra, I think, ends right on the 23rd, and then Scorpio starts. No, Scorpio starts on the 23rd. Yep, so I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my brother's a Scorpio. His birthday is November 3rd. Yeah. Yeah, he's the best. My little brother. Get on my nerves, though. Okay. Oh, you're also a Scorpio Hodge. When's your birthday?
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am. November 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, girl. Scorpios, I love us.
I knew there was something.
Yes. Yes.
Funny.
Yeah. So one of my last questions that I have for you is, what can fans expect from you this year?
Well, first off, I would say a lot of connection. Like, I feel like I'm in this like era where I just want to like really connect with people. So especially like doing a lot of shows, finding other ways to connect with people. Like, for instance, I have an idea to, you know, get some girls together from social media and have like a girls' day and do things like that. Like, I really just want to connect. And I'm super excited for my whole project to be out and just to do things like around the project. Definitely, I'm looking forward to a lot of shows. More shows is something I'm really, really excited about. And definitely getting more, like, you know, TV syncs for sure. Yes.
What can you tell us about the project that, you know, that you can tell us? Because that's interesting. I love that.
Well, I'll say that much like the songs that I've already released, You First and Illest, the message in the project is basically, you know, letting like women know, like, you're not alone. These situations, you know, that you talk about with your girlfriends, you know, we all go through the same thing. And I think it's kind of my way of having like a girls' night with all the women in, you know, in the world that I can't actually have a true girls' night with, you know, because when you hang out with your girls, for me, after I leave from hanging out with them, I feel so refreshed because I have those moments like, oh, you feel that way too? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, me too. You know, that kind of like feeling. So I feel like the EP is that. It's like, you know, a way for me to have that moment with more women outside of my circle, talking about things that, you know, they can feel like, you know, they're not alone in. But then also I like to always be positive. So there's always like a positive spin on these feelings that may not be so happy. But yeah, I think it's more of that for sure.
I cannot wait. I can't wait to listen to that because I definitely relate to that. When I see my girls for the weekend, I just got back from a trip and it was just like so nice to be with them and talk to them. And like, we're all in different states now. So we were able to do that. And girl, I can't wait for this album. This is gonna be great.
That's so true. And like, all of my friends live in other states. So like, I'm due for another one of those moments because I know how refreshing I'm going to feel after.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So where can we follow you to get all the updates on your new music?
Yes. So Nastasia G is everywhere. Nastasia G is my Instagram, my YouTube, everything, X or Twitter, all of that. It's Nastasia G. And then on Spotify, of course, Nastasia. Listen to the my last project so you can get ready for the new project.
Yes. Thank you so much for talking with me today. It was great.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. And I'm so grateful that you even wanted to like speak. Like, I'm grateful to be a part of your platform, honestly. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course.